Psalm 121 is the text for this morning's message. Psalm 121. Hear again the Lord's word. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. The psalm before us this morning is one of the 15 songs in the Psalter referred to as the Songs of Ascent. These psalms range from Psalm 120 all the way through to 134. And they're called the Songs of Ascent because they were typically sung by believers going up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord during any one of the three annual feasts, Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, some people might even refer to these psalms as pilgrimage songs, since they were typically sung during the believer's pilgrimage to Jerusalem for these feasts. And so we come then to the first two verses of the psalm, and we read these words. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence shall come my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The opening words of the psalm likely describe the pilgrim looking up at the hills of Jerusalem as he prepares for his pilgrimage to Zion to worship. As the pilgrim sets out for his journey to Zion, perhaps he thinks about the dangers of the journey. He knows it will be a long and trying journey, and he maybe wonders whether or not he will make it safely to his destination. Perhaps he remembers a number of fellow believers just like him who had set out on this journey before to Zion, but never made it home alive. Surely that was a reality for the people of this day. Perhaps he gave some thought also about the bandits and the thieves and the evildoers that he might encounter along his journey. And so lifting up his eyes toward the mountains, he wonders how he will ever make it there and back. But just as soon as he asks himself the question, he knows the answer. He knows his Lord is the one who will get him to where he's going. He knows that if he's going to make it there safely, the Lord must be the one to keep him both there and back. The psalmist indeed knew that the Lord dwelt on Mount Zion. That's where the Ark of the Covenant resided. But he also knew that the Lord was not confined to that mountain. He knew that even though the Lord dwelt in Zion in a special way, the Lord was also with his people while they were on their way to Zion and away from Zion. He knew to look not to the hill, but above the hill, to the sovereign God who created the hill. That was where he needed to look for his help. Now, when difficult times hit us in our lives, we're sometimes taken back by how huge the problems are. They seem so overwhelming that we sometimes wonder whether or not we will ever make it to our heavenly home, whether or not we will ever make it to the heavenly Jerusalem. We wonder how we will ever complete the journey in the face of the many troubles that we experience in this life. But then most of us quickly, and sometimes not so quickly, realize that our Lord is even bigger than our biggest problems in life. In fact, our Lord is so powerful that he providentially governs all things in this life, including our problems, including our huge problems. And so what the mountains are to the Almighty Creator, so are our troubles to our Keeper. The one who spoke all things into existence by the word of his power is the very one who keeps us. He is our help. Now, if he can do something as powerful as speak all things into existence by the word of his power, don't you think that he can take care of your problem and my problem? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Indeed, there is not. So the next time, folks, you experience a particularly troubling trial, you should also know that the Lord has a good purpose in bringing that trouble into your life. You see, one of the purposes for our trials, and especially the big ones, is to cause us to know how weak we are and how much we need the Lord. Otherwise, if we experienced only small trials in life, we might be led to believe that we can deal with all of those troubles in our own strength. And so when big trials come, we ought to know that the one thing the Lord wants us to do is to look to Him, and to look to Him immediately for help. It brings Him glory for us to recognize that He's our help. It's not good enough to look around you, to look to the mountains, or to look to other things in this life to be your help. What the Lord would have us to do is to look above this creation and look to the one who created it to be our help. Now, since the Hebrew word for keep, the word keep, K-E-E-P, is used no less than 6 times in just these 8 verses, we have good reason to believe that this is the major theme. This is the major subject of this psalm, the subject being the Lord, our keeper. Now, for those of us who are in Christ, the Lord, our keeper, the Lord is our keeper. And the psalm then goes on to support this truth in the following verses. So let's look at verse 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will not allow our foot to slip. But there's a qualifier to that. The Lord will not allow our foot to slip so long as our feet are standing on the rock of our salvation. For those of us who belong to Christ, we are safe and secure. The billows may shake the shore. Wave upon wave of trouble may come over us. But we who belong to Christ will not be moved, because that sure rock of our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 62 and verse 2, we're told that He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I shall not be greatly shaken. That means we might be shaken, but not greatly shaken. Not greatly shaken to the point of slipping from the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is our rock. And even though it is for us to embrace Him for salvation, we know that we're kept close to Him by His grip upon us. It's not so much our grip upon Him, but it is His firm grip upon us to see us through these things in life. And those who truly belong to Him will never fall away, for Jesus said, "All that the Father has given to me, of all that number is, not one shall fall away." And concerning those who are in the Father's hand, Jesus also said that no one is able to come along and to snatch the child of God from the Father's hand. In Jude, verse 1, we read these words, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." You notice that those who are the called of the Lord and the beloved of God the Father are kept by Him for Jesus Christ. So to belong to God is to be safe. To belong to God is to be kept. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we've gone over these verses in our series through 1 Peter. But I'd like to read a passage from there again. It's 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. And there we read these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by God through faith. But not only does the Lord keep us for this glorious salvation, but we also know that he keeps and he guards our hearts and minds all along the way. In Philippians 4:8, you know the passage, we have, if we are in Christ, that peace that surpasses understanding. And folks, that's no small blessing. That's no small blessing. You can be going through the most terrible trouble in this life, but so long as your heart and your mind are secure and guarded by the Lord, you'll be able to endure anything in this life. Anything. Indeed, to have our hearts and our minds guarded or kept by God is a great blessing. Now, our psalm goes on to say that our God slumbers not nor sleeps. Think about that for a moment. Our God has never slept and will never sleep. In fact, he never even grows tired. He never even gets a little bit sleepy. His eyes never close. He's always fully attentive and fully aware of everything going on at all times. Indeed, he's the one who controls all things at all times. And the truth is, if he were to slumber even a bit, all the order that we see in this universe would turn to chaos. The reason it doesn't is because he slumbers not nor sleeps. He governs all things. Our Lord is ever watchful. He's there watching you when you go to sleep. He's there watching you when you wake up in the morning. And if you should wake up in the middle of the night, he's there. And he's ready to minister to you. There's no possibility of ever catching him off guard. He's quite unlike Baal in this manner. You'll recall the story of Elijah and the false prophet from 1 Kings 18. And if you do remember that story, you'll recall how Elijah had made fun of Baal and of the false prophets. When their false gods didn't answer them, remember they were crying out to them, they were cutting themselves and doing everything to get their God to bring down fire upon that area. They were doing all these things. And when their false god didn't answer them, Elijah offered them some possible excuses, of course, with tongue in cheek. He suggested that to them that perhaps Baal might not have responded because he was asleep. Maybe he was taking a nap. Or maybe he was otherwise occupied, even perhaps using the restroom, applying many human characteristics to their false god. But you see, when Elijah called out to the true and living God, God heard that prayer, and he answered immediately. Our Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's attentive to every situation. There's nothing going on in this world or in your life that he doesn't know about, that he's not actively aware of at all times. Indeed, he fills his thoughts. He fills his mind with thoughts about you if you belong to him. The Lord is your personal keeper. Even though we read that the Lord is the keeper of all of Israel in verse 4, we're told here that the Lord is also a keeper of each individual member of his covenant people. The good shepherd is not only the shepherd of the whole flock, but of every sheep within the flock. In fact, he has such a care for each one of us that he would leave the 99 in order to go and chase after the stray. He is mindful of each one of us individually. The Lord is your keeper. As fallen people living in this fallen world, you're often tempted to trust in things other than your Lord. But when you're tempted in this way, you need to sober up and you need to recall that the Lord is the one who will protect you, that he is the one who will give you rest. Not your bank account, not the stock market or a good report from the doctor or a good national defense. Those things are all nice, indeed they are, but they truly aren't the kinds of things that ought to give you peace or to make you feel safe in this life. Rather, the number one thing that ought to give you peace and security is knowing that you belong to the Lord and have Him as your personal keeper. You see, those other things mean absolutely nothing if you don't have the Lord as your keeper. After all, so what? So what if you have $1 million in your checking account? So what if you're making it big in the stock market? So what if you got good health today? So what if you're a citizen of the greatest and safest country in the world? Folks, in the long run, none of that will matter at all. In the long run, money won't keep or protect you from hell. In the long run, there will come a day when the good health that you once knew will be no more and you will die. In the long run, if the Lord should tarry, there will likely come a day when this nation will be no more. It will be just like all the other nations that have come and gone throughout the history of this world. In the long run, what matters most is if you have the Lord as your personal keeper. Is He your personal keeper this morning? Is He the one watching over your life in a personal and intimate way? That's what you ought to be concerned about. That's what will bring you peace and safety and security in your mind and in your heart. Now, if you've been watching the news this past week, you know that recently some tornadoes struck the state of Alabama. And at one particular school, the students there hunkered down in what everybody believed to be the safest building in all of the surrounding area. It was a sturdy building. It was made of concrete stones, concrete blocks. The students did everything they were supposed to do in that situation. They got under their desks, they covered their heads, and they waited for the tornado to pass. Humanly speaking, they had good reason to believe that they were safe. Humanly speaking, they had every reason to believe that they would be safe. But folks, 8 students died that day when the roof of the building collapsed upon them. The point for bringing this up is that men may think they're safe. Men may trust in the things of this world to keep them safe. But unless the Lord is your keeper, it's all in vain. If you're not trusting in the Lord to be your keeper, then any other safety is only a figment of your imagination. Men may think they're safe, but the Lord is the one who governs all things, all His creatures and all their actions. He governs the winds and the storms and all the weather. He's the one who gives life and takes it. He's the one who could take the life of one person and protect the life of another just inches away from the one who was taken. That's exactly what happened in that case in Alabama. You see, the Lord must be the one you look to for help. He's the only one to look to. To look anywhere else is foolish. To look to anything else is to look to the creation instead of the Creator, which is plain ridiculous. But then the psalmist goes on in verse 6 to tell us that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. In our pilgrimage to the heavenly Jerusalem, we're going to be exposed to various trials and tribulations. Figuratively speaking, the scorching heat of the sun and the cold, dark nights are going to try us. There will be times when we're going through this dry and dusty land that we will feel as though we can't go any further. But the Lord will not allow us to come short of the finish line, for He is our keeper. And He has secured for us a safe arrival to our eternal home. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love and the care of our Lord, which is in Christ Jesus. And you know that passage very well from Romans chapter 8, but I'd like to read it again for you. Verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, the reason we can have full confidence that we will make it to our destination is because Jesus has gone before us and he has secured that place for us. You see, Jesus, when he came to earth, set his eyes up upon the hills, and you know what he saw. He saw the cross. He saw the same mountain that the believers were going to go worship the Lord. He saw the cross and he saw the altar that he would have to climb up upon. He witnessed all of these things. And yet for the joy set before him, he endured the hard journey. And because he's done that, because he successfully lived according to God's law perfectly, and because he died that perfect death for us upon the cross, he has secured everything that we need in order to make it to our heavenly destination. That's why we're going to make it to heaven if we belong to Christ. Not because you or I are going to be the most holy and righteous soldiers that we can be. It's not because of anything in about us. It's because of what he has done. He is our righteousness. He is our salvation. Now, with the reference to the sun and to the moon in the psalm, David may be alluding to how the Lord cared for Israel when he delivered them from Egypt, and how he cared for them through their journey in the wilderness. We're told that the Lord guarded them from the heat of the sun with a cloud by day, and from the cold and the moisture of the night with a pillar of fire by night. But more than that, when they were hungry, the Lord rained down manna from heaven. When they were thirsty, the Lord provided water for them from the rock. And folks, these were but foreshadows of how the Lord provides nourishment for your soul and for my soul today. The manna and the water were foreshadows of Jesus Christ as the bread of life and the living water. The Lord provides nourishment for us that satisfies hunger and thirst eternally. So brothers and sisters in Christ, we again will make it to our destination because we've been nourished by our eternal Savior, because we've fed upon Christ, because he has provided all things necessary to make it to that heavenly place. All praise be to Jesus Christ. In the book of the Revelation, we have a couple of descriptions there of what we who belong to Christ are looking forward to. In Revelation chapter 7, and in verses 13 through 17, we read these words. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in white robes, who are they? And from where have they come?" And I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is the center of the throne, shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And then in chapter 21, in verses 23 through 27, speaking of the glorious city we're on our way to see, "And the city has no need for the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is where we're headed. This is where we're going. That's the prize. That's the prize. We come to verse 7 then in our text. And we read there that the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Now this doesn't mean that all of us are going to enjoy a cush life so long as we're in Christ. But it does mean that we will enjoy a well-protected life if we're in Christ. In Psalm 23, the psalmist knows that there will be times when he'll have to walk through the dark valleys of the shadow of death. But he also knows that he can face those valleys without fear. Without fear. And that's because he has confident trust in the Lord to be his shepherd, to be his guardian, to be his keeper. Jesus Christ, as you know, is the good shepherd of that psalm. And he promises to care for us, even in the smallest matters of life. For example, in Luke chapter 21 and in verses 16 and following, the Lord tells his people there that not a hair on their head will be lost. But you'll notice that he gives that promise in the context of the reality that some of them would face persecution and even martyrdom in this life. So what does he mean then with this promise? Well, he means that he will keep us from all evil in the ultimate sense. In the ultimate sense. Ultimately, whatever evil we're troubled by in this life, the Lord will work out for his gracious good. Even the most wicked and evil days that this world has seen are turned to good by our Lord. We know that the Lord works all things for good. So no matter how wicked and evil something might be, we should know that it will not remain so. It's all part of God's good and gracious plan. Nothing is out of his control. It's all part of his good and perfect plan. Now, the other reason we have for believing the Lord will keep us from all evil is seen in the fact that he will keep your soul. Even the believer who loses very precious things in this life through trials and tribulations can find hope in these words, because no matter what we lose in this life, we will never lose that which is most precious to us, our souls. And why is that? Because it's the Lord who keeps your soul if you belong to Christ. Folks, we might lose loved ones, might lose friends, houses, jobs, good health, and even life itself. But the thing to always remember is that no matter what happens to us in this life, and no matter what we might lose through trials and tribulations, the thing that is most precious to us will never be lost. It can't even be touched. The Lord will keep your soul. We come finally to verse 8. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, the thing that comes to mind here, at least in my mind, are traveling mercies. Traveling mercies. The Lord guards our going out and our coming in. This promise is actually realized and experienced by every one of us on a daily basis. Every time we step foot out of our homes and we return to our homes, it is the Lord who has kept us. Every time we go away from home for business travels or vacation and return home safely, it's because the Lord has kept us. Now, sadly, this is one of the blessings that many of us tend to overlook and tend to take for granted. We would all do well to be more mindful of our Lord's daily mercies upon us. Indeed, there's good reason why we're told that his mercies are new every morning. That's because there isn't a day or even a moment that goes by where we're not experiencing his wonderful mercy. Just take a look at how many car wrecks and how many fatal accidents occur in this world and how many other fatal things happen to people so that they never are able to return home safely. Each day that we live, any one of these things could happen to us. But each day that we don't experience such trouble, it's only because the Lord has been pleased to extend his merciful hand to us. There are so many troubles, if you think about it, so many troubles that the Lord guards us from at every moment. In my own life, I've experienced times when I've missed serious wrecks by just a few seconds in time. That's because the Lord goes before His people and He keeps us. When you think about it, the only reason all of us don't fall over dead at any given moment is because the Lord is keeping us and sustaining us. And you notice that the psalmist says, the Lord is keeping us from this time forth and forevermore. In other words, right now, the Lord is keeping us. At every moment, the Lord is keeping us, even now. But not only do we have the promise of being kept in time, but the promise extends beyond time into eternity. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our gracious Lord has always been with His saints. He was with Noah. He was with Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and David. He was with these giants of our faith. But guess what? The promise and the reality includes average saints like you and me as well. You don't have to have your name in the hall of faith in order to be kept by the Lord. You simply need to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That book contains the names of every child of God that has lived or ever will live. And the wonderful thing is that you don't have to be a giant in the faith in order to know that your name is written in that glorious book. All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you will be able to rest in peace all the days of your life, knowing that you are kept by God from this time forth and forevermore. And not just the days of life on this side of the grave, but even on through death itself, He will be our constant guide and protector. Folks, the saints of old sang this psalm about our Lord a very long time ago. And we sing this very same psalm today because it describes the very same God we worship today. As they sang this psalm, headed out to Jerusalem, they were reminded of the Lord's kindly care for them. They were reminded that the one who created all things is the very same one who governs all things. And they were comforted by these thoughts as they sung these words. We should be comforted by them as well this morning. Those of us who belong to Christ are on our way to see Him. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And no matter what we experience in this life, the Lord will keep us from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Please bow your hearts with me in prayer.